Hi, everyone. My name is Danica Katovich. I'm a national organizer with Code Pink. I'm glad we could come together today, and I want to take a moment to thank all the organizations that are here with us. We have Chicago Committee Against War and Racism, Chicago Area Peace Action, CAFA DePaul, SJP DePaul, DSA Chicago, YCL, and Black Alliance for Peace. This action would be impossible without all of you, especially the students who made all of this possible and made all these great signs. We're here for a number of reasons. At the end of October of last year, my neighbors in Lakeview got together again 6 months after we sat outside of this office every day until Mike Quigley signed on to Medicare for All to demand that he stop taking campaign contributions from weapons companies. We did this because we realized through the Medicare for All fight that Quigley is movable. Quigley is movable when our community demands better of him. We found that he was taking $50,000 from the top weapons manufacturers in the 2020 election cycle alone. Money in politics is corruption. Weapons makers profit off the occupation of Palestine, the war in Yemen, and now the war on Ukraine. The money these companies make off of human suffering gets funneled back into politicians like Quigley, who consistently vote for increased war budgets. Mike Quigley had a chance. Mike Quigley had the chance to cut the Pentagon budget by 10% last year, and he voted not to, while people in his district face housing insecurity and food insecurity. He voted to give almost $800 billion of our tax dollars to the military. He votes this way because over 50% of that $800 billion goes directly to the companies that fund his campaigns. We're here making several demands that are all intertwined. We demand that Representative Quigley answer to us and not his donors by signing the Code Pink pledge to refuse campaign contributions to the top five weapons companies. We demand he voices public support for the War Powers Resolution for Yemen that would end U.S. complicity in the war. We demand he votes no on all arms sales and no on the Pentagon budget. We also demand he joins the Defense Spending Reduction Caucus to cut the Pentagon budget. We'll be hearing from some speakers, and then we'll make some calls together. And then we have chalk so we can write our message all over the sidewalks, things like divest from war, cut the Pentagon budget, free Palestine, end U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen, and so on. And first, we'll hear from Samir from CAFA DePaul.
Hello, everyone. My name is Samir. I am the president of CAFA DePaul. We are a group of students, community members, and young people dedicated to anti-war, anti-imperialist, and anti-racist organizing. Today I'm going to be giving a speech about Yemen and a new War Powers Resolution. January 21st, 2022, a detention center in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, was hit by an airstrike led by none other than the Saudi-led coalition that is backed by the United States, in which over 90 people were killed. Amidst the rubble from this devastating attack, a fragment of Raytheon weaponry, a company in which Quigley has accepted at least $3,500 from for his campaign in 2020 alone, was found at the site of the airstrike with their manufacturer code on it. On August 9th, 2018, a bomb used by the Saudi-led coalition that is backed by the United States was dropped on a children's school bus in Yemen, killing 40 children, 11 adults, and wounding 79 people, 56 of which were also children. This was a 500-pound laser-guided bomb that was made by Lockheed Martin, another weapons manufacturer that Quigley himself has accepted money from for his campaign in the amount of $8,000. As residents of District 5, we should be angered at the fact that Mike Quigley, our own representative, takes thousands of dollars from companies that are helping maintain the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. While people in Yemen are starving and having their lives taken, Quigley gets to sit in his office and benefit from the companies that are helping carry out such a terrible and devastating crisis. His decision to take money from weapons manufacturers can no longer be tolerated. As a community, we must continue to express our anger until Quigley meets our demand by signing our pledge, which states that he will no longer accept money from Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, and all other weapons manufacturers. There is no place for money in politics, especially money that comes from the ones who profit off of war, violence, and destruction. So the time is now for us to come together and help get money out of politics. On top of that, we are here to demand Quigley support a war powers resolution for Yemen. Quigley was a co-sponsor of a war powers resolution in 2018 and 2019because the Paul students from Kappa demanded he join the bill. This was the first time a WPR has been passed in Congress, and we have to do it again. The United States still provides spare parts transfers and maintenance to the Saudi Royal Air Force. If we pass a WPR prohibiting the Biden administration from sending this support to Saudi Arabia, we could ground the entire Saudi Air Force. Without our cooperation, the devastating war in Yemen wouldn't be possible. Representatives Jayapal and DeFazio have pledged to introduce a war powers resolution for Yemen, and when that gets introduced, Mike Quigley has to publicly support it. His campaign donors have gotten rich off of the war in Yemen. To make it right, he must stop accepting campaign contributions from weapons companies and do his part to end U.S. complicity in the war in Yemen. We will be taking action until he does. Thank you.
Thank you, Samir. And next we're going to hear from Matt from Democratic Socialists of America, Chicago's chapter.
Thank you. Thank you to Code Pink and all the groups that are here today, calling for an end to war profiteering and incredibly undemocratic practices when it comes to international relations. Mike Quigley's behavior, while completely appalling at times like this, is indicative of the much greater problem and history of American oligarchs supporting and perpetrating acts of war constantly throughout the world. As representatives of DSA, I'm here to reiterate our organizational stance on this issue, that NATO expansionism and Russian aggression are both to blame for the suffering that many Ukrainians and beyond will continue to endure. But the hands of the West are not clean in any of this. As we see here today, from massive profitization of military equipment, bombs made to terrorize and conquer innocent people, and policies set up to maintain complete hegemonic control, the United States and NATO are absolutely guilty in not only adding fuel to the fire, but starting it from the ground up. We cannot keep living in this vacuum of a 2016 era news cycle. Russia did this to our elections. Putin is to blame for our problems at home. Our democracy would only be perfect if Putin didn't exist. Where does this leave the people of Russia? How has this messaging helped the people of Ukraine? I would never in a million years ask you to trust Putin. He's a capitalist that is happy to see the end of socialism. And his message of denazification of Ukraine is tempered at best. When have you ever known a capitalist to defeat fascism? But we cannot repeat our mistakes again and again. How is this different than Syria or Afghanistan when we supported the Mujahideen? No, the only answer to this situation is peace. Not, quote unquote, diplomatic sanctions that will ultimately just strike at the everyday lives of the Russian people and again will have ripple effects throughout the entire world, but peace. Revolutionary defeat of our imperialist masters is the only path towards a people's first solution. We have also seen over the past few weeks many protests that have emboldened what appear to be the most reckless and extreme voices calling for a massively heightened defense of Ukraine. Quigley himself has appeared at multiple events showing support to on-the-ground defense of Ukraine, as have many other politicians here in the city and state. But what do we know of these on-the-ground troops? What do we know about these supposed ragtag team of soldiers that appear to have gotten armed so quickly? They have not been receiving weapons from Russia, I can promise you that. The United States, through their alliance with NATO, is directly funding neo-Nazis on the ground in Ukraine and trying to get the American people to view them as noble defenders of the land. These people will not bring peace to Ukraine even after the fighting is done. And while they may be small in numbers and some want to say their influence is minuscule at best, then why do they speak as though they are doing the bidding of the West? That they are the ones violent enough to carry out the desires of the West. Our leaders have exported our most violent sensibilities while never forgetting their main objective, hegemonic control for capitalist domination. Now they just have some people, some hooligans, to carry out their violence for them. Now, as the American anti-war movement is readjusting itself in this new era, we must understand the entire scope of these situations. We owe it to ourselves and to the entire world to understand what the situation calls for, and that peace is always an option, oftentimes our only option. That is what so many brave Russian protesters have understood. Those brave protesters have risked arrest and government persecution. The only thing that can stop their oligarchical rule is peace. We are here fighting for the same thing. We stand in solidarity with them and struggle with them. If we don't want to see more Ukrainians die at the hands of the war industry, peace must be our only path forward. The United States has always struggled in understanding this. For a country obsessed with war, we have not won one since the beginning of the 20th century. We spend billions on planes that cannot fly and want to send off our children at experiments in global expansion. And we are supposed to trust their judgment? We are supposed to trust their bloodlust and analysis of international affairs? Please do not laugh when I say, are we really that stupid? Do they expect us not to catch on eventually? Many of us have. We have nothing but contempt for most of the world as Americans. We mock, ridicule, bomb, and destabilize the regions that ever try to fight against us. We have done it for years. As a brilliant leader once said, who has ever been saved by the United States? Not even its own people have if threat of nuclear war is constantly on the horizon. We have to wake up to this. We have to fight against this. We have to be prepared to fight wherever this may take us. We may believe in peace, but we will still fight to the death for it. So I leave you now with this. The workers and oppressed people of the world have so much to unite over. The ruling class will do everything in its power to try and divide us. We will not let masters of war win. All power to the people.
Thank you, Matt. Our final speaker is Andy Thayer from Gay Liberation Network and Chicago Committee Against War and Racism.
Thank you. Here, I'll adjust. This morning, this morning, the news reported another assassination attempt on President Zelensky of Ukraine, apparently by Russia. For those of us who are students of history, there was an uncanny symmetry to this. A major world power gets a beachhead on the doorstep of another major power. The other major power responds with attempted assassinations and invasion and the threat of nuclear war. That isn't to justify any of it. Anyone here, any anti-war activist worthy of the name, should be totally appalled by it and not giving excuses for it. But in so many respects, Ukraine of today is Cuba of the 1960s. Every single foreign policy sin of Vladimir Putin was committed by John F. Kennedy of the United States. And it should be noted that every single one of JFK's successors has committed most, if not all, of these same sins. Since World War II, the United States has invaded more nations on Earth than any other nation around the globe. Yet who is the number one hero in the pantheon of liberal Democratic Party icons? It's JFK, the nuclear war threatening invasion and assassination organizing escalator of the Vietnam War. This should give us a clue as to who our real allies are in the fight. Not Biden and his predecessors who insisted on marching a war alliance, NATO, to the very doorstep of Russia, and who clung to that policy even when it meant an almost certain Russian invasion in response. Nor is our ally, indeed he should be considered our opponent, our own saber-rattling Congressman Mike Quigley, on the gravy train of defense contractor contributions, who never saw a military budget increase that he didn't like. Woo! Now, in contrast to some on the right and left, we need to say that our natural allies are the brave anti-war citizens of Russia pouring out into the streets despite risk of arrest and worse. There wasn't much opposition to JFK in this country back in the day. It took a few years to grow during the anti-Vietnam War movement. But that is our legacy. Those are our natural allies, those who oppose war in whatever country they find themselves in. A few nights ago, at Biden's State of the Union address, we saw an appalling display of U.S. nationalism calculated to escalate the crisis. Thunderous chants of USA, USA, worthy of the very worst Trump rally. This is totally playing into Putin's hands. Any alleged support for Russian anti-war activists or Ukrainian independence couched in U.S. patriotism, couched in U.S. nationalism, has the effect of strengthening Putin. He is able to brand all opposition within Russia as dupes of the CIA, not unlike our own rulers attempted to do to brand the civil rights movement and opposition to the Vietnam War as being dupes of Russia. Our allies are not our own warmongers of the Democratic and Republican parties, nor their counterparts abroad. Our allies are those standing up to war. This present day is a test for the anti-war movement, one that many have already failed by excusing or ignoring the war moves of either US or Russia. In this country, because we are here, it is our duty to demand, not to ask, not to lobby, not to try and convince, but to demand that the warmongers like Mike Quigley step back from their support of this and other wars. He and his fellow Democratic and Republican Party warmongers are our opponents and should be treated as such. I'd like to finish with just a short autobiographical note. As some of you know, I visited Russia in 2009, 2010, and 2011 in support of Russian gay rights activists fighting for the right to simply assemble the way we are here today and demand their rights. On two occasions, I escaped the third time. On two occasions, I was arrested along with all my other Russian counterparts and allies from abroad for simply doing what we are doing today. And I can tell you that the response from the American embassy in Moscow, this was during the Obama administration, the response of the American embassy was, who cares? Because at that time, the Obama administration was cynically trying to court Putin and Russia as part of its plan to encircle Iran and impose its will on the people of Iran, who've been fighting for independence for decades now against the United States. That is the cynicism of great power politics. And I saw it with my own eyes. And then finally, I should say, the last time I was in Russia in 2011, we attempted to have our gay rights protest on Red Square. The day before it, a mass of Sieg-Heiling fascists gathered in that same location, unmolested by the police. And it was a time when fascists in Russia would hunt and stalk on gay people and injure or murder them. It was widespread. This is not news to anyone who does the research. The point is that powers, whether in this country, whether abroad, in Russia, Ukraine, whatever, will use fascist thugs for their own purposes. So there's a lot of fascist baiting going on in this country on both sides of the conflict. And we should be committed to allying ourselves with those who are truly against war, which is the people of Russia today, who are bravely coming out, and hopefully we'll build a movement worthy of the kind of movement that ended the Vietnam War, the U.S. war on Vietnam. That is our hope. Those are who we should be looking to as allies, and not bastards like this.
Thank you, Andy. Those were all of our speakers for today. I just want to let you all know that we are gathering here, but also in an hour or so, we'll also be gathering outside of Representative Sean Kasten's office. He's a newer representative, but he did take money from his first election cycle from Northrop Grumman, which is a top five weapons manufacturer. He did vote to increase the Pentagon budget. He did vote against the vote to cut the Pentagon budget by 10%. So I just want everyone to, you know, leave here on, I mean, we still have a lot to do, don't worry about it, but we still have a few more things to do, but leave here thinking about the world that we want to build together and how much military spending gets in the way of that. $800 billion is what Mike Quigley voted for just a couple months ago. He couldn't even convince himself to vote for a 10%, a tiny decrease in that Pentagon spending that goes to Israel to fund the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, the occupation of their lands, that it goes to weapon sales, it goes to so much military procurement that we could be spending here on healthcare, universal healthcare. Like I said earlier, we got Mike Quigley to support Medicare for All at the end of last year, almost a year ago, this month. He's going to have to make some sacrifices if he is serious about Medicare for All and universal health care, and that is getting rid of the Pentagon budget. Woo! So, to make sure, you know, he's probably in D.C. right now, so he's probably not here, but his staffers are, probably. We have to give him a call. So, Liz handed out call scripts. They're double-sided. There's one that's about Yemen to support a war powers resolution for Yemen that Representatives Jayapal and DeFazio have pledged to introduce before the 7th anniversary of the war, which is March 25th. What a war powers resolution would do, it would seek to do, it would stop spare parts transfers to the Saudi Royal Air Force. It would also suspend maintenance to the Saudi Royal Air Force. They fly our planes that are manufactured by money that... by companies that Mike Quigley takes money from, like Lockheed Martin, Boeing, etc. So the War Powers Resolution suspend spare parts transfers and end maintenance to the Saudi Royal Air Force. We do maintenance on their planes every time they get back from a bombing campaign in Yemen. So, like Samir said, it would ground the Saudi Royal Air Force without U.S. participation. So we are making this war possible. It's our job to demand our representatives to pass a War Powers Resolution. So there's a script here. Mike Quigley's number is the first number on here. It says DC office. Please give him a call and read that script. It says, hello, my name is, and then say your first and last name, and then you live in this, in, you can say you just live in Chicago, that's fine. And then the second script is the first script will be the one you're reading. The other one's for the Kasten protest later today. It's his campaign office's number, so it's a different ask. We're asking something of his political campaign, not his office in D.C. And we're asking him to stop taking money from the top five weapons companies, which are Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and General Dynamics, which he has taken money from all of them in the last election cycle. Also, I want to shout out the Divest Mike campaign. Follow Divest Mike on Twitter. All of these people up here are part of the Divest My campaign. They've been doing canvases in our community, in our neighborhood, to let Mike Quigley's constituents know, because no one likes money in politics, to let them know that our representative is bought by the war industry, and he needs to listen to us if he wants to stay in office. So, hell yeah, he gets it. So we're asking him to sign the pledge and make a verbal commitment to stop taking money from these companies so we can do things like end arms sales to Saudi Arabia, end arms sales to Israel, end all arms sales, ideally that would be great, and cut the Pentagon budget. So please make these phone calls with me really quick, and then after we're done, I have chalk. We're going to chalk up the sidewalk so all of Mike Quigley staffers, and if he slips by, comes to the office, he'll see him too. I don't think it's supposed to rain over the next couple of days, so ideally they'll be here for a while. So I'll hand out some chalk, and after you're done with the calls, divest from war, free Palestine, end the war in Yemen, things of that nature. Have fun with it, all right? All right, thanks for coming.
Do you want to help pass me a shot?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Andy, you want to go?